number 12. We all make mistakes, and we all deserve a second chance. Things didn't go quite as smoothly as I'd hoped. I was so tired the next day from waking up to feed Musette when she cried in the middle of the night and then feeding her again in the morning that I wasn't ready when Erica showed up to walk to Pine Heights with me. But Mark, who'd meant it when he said he wanted to help, told his friends on the dirt bikes that he couldn't ride with them and walked Kevin to school with Erica. That's when I realized that maybe my little brothers weren't total jerks after all. Mom wrote a note asking that my tardiness be excused, and then Dad drove me to school on his way to work, even though Pine Heights is only 2 blocks away. I hurried into school, anxious to get to class as soon as possible, so as not to miss math and fall behind. Plus, I wanted to tell Sophie and Caroline about Musette. Maybe it was because I was rushing that I didn't notice the other person who'd apparently also woken up late and been dropped off by her parents and was rushing to get to class too. We were both rushing so fast, we nearly bumped into each other at the bottom of the stairs. "Watch where you're going," Rosemary started to say. "No," I said, the words coming out of my mouth before I had a chance to think about them. "You watch where you're going." That's when she saw it was me. "You!" she cried, giving me a poke in the shoulder that sent me staggering backward a few steps. My heart, as it always did when I found myself caught up in a one-on-one situation with Rosemary, did a funny loop-de-loop inside my chest and then started pounding hard, exactly the way Rosemary was going to start pounding on my face in a second or two. But then I remembered. I didn't have time for this stuff anymore. I had a kitten to take care of. "What did you just say?" Rosemary asked in her meanest voice, letting her backpack slip off her shoulders and fall to the floor. "You heard me," I said. My heart was still pounding, but I let my own backpack slip off as well. It was time. Time for this to end. "Why don't you watch where you're going?" Rosemary blinked at me, looking confused for a few seconds. "No," she said. "You."
"Both of you had better watch where you're going," said a man's deep voice from down the hallway. "Because both of you had better get going to class where you belong."
Rosemary and I both whirled around to see Mr. Elkhart standing there with his push broom, looking at us. Rosemary let out a guilty-sounding squeak, scooped up her backpack, and ran up the stairs as fast as her legs could carry her. I took a little bit longer to pick up my stuff because my backpack had spilled when I dropped it, and I had to squat down to stuff all my things back into it. I didn't care so much about Mr. Elkhart catching me practically fighting in the hallway. After all, Rosemary started it. Still, I noticed that he hadn't gone away. He was just standing there, leaning on his push broom and staring at me. I looked up at him to see what he wanted.
"That girl," he said, looking up the stairs to show that he was talking about Rosemary. "She's always wanting to start something with you, isn't she?"
"Yes," I said. I didn't say yeah, because Dad said it's rude to say yeah to adults. You should say yes, or yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. That's a rule.
"Why do you think that is?" Mr. Elkhart wanted to know.
"I don't know," I said, shrugging, even though Grandma said it's rude to shrug.
"You know why I think it is?" Mr. Elkhart said.
He didn't wait for me to say yes.
"I think it's because none of you girls ever invite her to play with you."
I stared at him. Mr. Elkhart was nice and all. He always rescued people's balls when they landed on the roof or in the teacher's parking lot or whatever. But this statement proved he had to be a little nuts. Because only a crazy person would think that the reason Rosemary Dawkins wanted to kill me was because my friends and I had never invited her to play with us.
"Well?"
Mr. Elkhart stared down at me from beneath his hairy gray eyebrows.
"Think about it. She's always playing with the boys. Kickball, stuffing their heads into folding chairs. When do you girls ever ask her to play with you? Don't try to deny it. You don't. You don't ask her to eat lunch with you. You don't ask her to play with you at recess.
That's because she says she's going to beat me up, I explained, thinking that even a crazy person could understand this.
She wants to beat you up because she feels left out,
Mr. Elkhart said.
Some people don't know how to act, you know, so they act out. That's what that girl is doing. Maybe if you and the other girls tried to include her once in a while, instead of treating her like she was one of the boys, she might not be so mean.
Then Mr. Elkhart shrugged and went back to cleaning.
But then, what do I know? He said, pushing his broom. I just watch every single thing that goes on around here.
I stared at Mr. Elkhart as he swept his way down the hall. I thought about what he'd said. I didn't think it was very fair. We didn't treat Rosemary like she was one of the boys, even though she was interested in the things the boys in our class were interested in. Sitting in the back row and being bad, stuffing people's heads through folding chairs, kickball, making fun of other people. I mean, I am not a particularly prissy person. I can burp just as loudly as anybody else. But Rosemary really had taken all that to a whole new level. If she wanted to be treated like a girl, well, then stomping around and threatening to beat people up really wasn't the way to go about it. On the other hand, she had come over and asked what Caroline, Sophie, Erica, and I were doing in the bushes the other day. Maybe that had been her way of asking if she could play with us. Maybe, in spite of how it looked, Rosemary did want to be a little more girly. I mean, she had made fun of my essay where I'd said I wanted a pink feathered canopy cat bed and a pink rhinestone cat collar for Musette. Was it possible that when people make fun of other people for wanting things, it's because deep down inside they want those things too? I went upstairs to Mrs. Hunter's classroom, feeling as if a blindfold had been lifted from my eyes. What Mr. Elkhart had said might not be true, but it also might be. And if it was, it was better than all the other advice I had gotten so far rolled into one. Better than my dad's punching lessons, or grandma's insistence that a lady never raises her fist to another, or Uncle Jay's tip about psyching out your enemy. For the rest of the morning, I watched Rosemary carefully, which was kind of hard to do because she sat behind me, but I tried to watch her as often as I could without being completely obvious. And I started to think maybe Mr. Elkhart might be right. Rosemary did seem to kind of want attention from the girls in the room, all of whom completely ignored her. I mean, Erica and I were constantly getting caught chit-chatting with each other. But no girl ever got caught chit-chatting with Rosemary. And Caroline and Sophie got caught passing notes to each other during math. But no girl ever got caught passing notes with Rosemary. Instead, Rosemary got caught impaling the back of Michaela Feingold's head with a paper airplane and hissing, scaredy cat, at me during reading. Rosemary's only interactions with girls were totally negative ones. Of course, this could be because Mrs. Hunter had stuck her in the back of the classroom with Stuart Maxwell, Joey Fields, and Patrick Day, the rowdiest boys in our class. So it wasn't like Rosemary got a lot of opportunity to hang around with us girls. But still, that didn't mean that when she did get a chance to hang with us, she had to spend it saying she was going to kill us. Maybe Mr. Elkhart was right. Maybe Rosemary didn't know any better. Maybe she just didn't know how to act. Maybe she didn't know the rules. Maybe nobody had ever bothered teaching them to her. Or maybe she had never thought of keeping a book of them, like I had. You couldn't blame her, really, for acting the way she did. Fourth grade is hard. Not just the school part, but the friend stuff, too. I don't know where I'd be if I hadn't had the rules. All morning, I thought about Rosemary and what Mr. Elkhart had said about her. By the time the lunch bell finally rang and we all got up to get our coats and get in line, I had thought of something. And what I'd thought of was that Mr. Elkhart was maybe right. I didn't know totally for sure because I was, after all, just the new girl. But I had become such good friends so fast with Erica, Caroline, and Sophie, I hadn't really given any of the other girls in class a chance. True, Rosemary had been really mean to me from my very first day at Pine Heights Elementary. But we all make mistakes, and we all deserve a second chance. That's a big-time rule. So, as we were splitting into our two lines, the line for the kids who go home for lunch and the line for kids who go to the cafeteria for lunch, I took a deep breath, and summoning every bit of bravery I had, I walked up to Rosemary and said, "Rosemary." She spun around from where she was giving a Charlie horse to David Brantlinger and said, "What do you want?" I could feel the gazes of Erica, Caroline, and Sophie on me. I'd heard Sophie's dramatically indrawn breath. I knew they were listening. I also knew I had to do this. I had to, or there would never be peace between me and Rosemary. There might never be anyway. I might end up having to punch her in the nose, or getting my nose punched. But I didn't have any other choice. "Do you want to come home for lunch with me?" I asked her. "And see my new kitten?" Rosemary's fist, about to land on David's thigh, froze in midair. David froze too. Everyone in line, in fact, seemed to freeze. Mrs. Hunter, who'd been opening the door to let us go into the hallway, didn't realize what had just happened and said, "It's all right, class. You can go now." She didn't understand why no one was moving. But she must have seen that everyone was looking at Rosemary and me, because I saw her look our way too. Rosemary hadn't looked away from me. "Is this a joke?" she demanded in a very suspicious voice. "No, it's not a joke," I said. "I just got Musette last night. She's really too young to be separated from her mother, but Lady Serena Archibald got an infection and her litter had to be fostered out, so I'm bottle feeding her. I'll let you hold the bottle if you want. You just have to promise to be gentle." I could see that Rosemary was trying to figure out if I meant it or if my invitation was some kind of trap. Maybe she thought I was only inviting her so that I could get her alone at my house and hit her over the head with a hammer or something. But when I said the part about the bottle and her having to promise to be gentle, I saw something happen in her eyes. It was like they lit up or something. There were too many details in my story for it to be a lie. I could tell she believed me. I could tell she wanted to come to my house and see Musette. She wanted to come to my house and see Musette really, really badly. But I could also tell that she wasn't really quite ready to let go of the past. "I don't know," she said slowly. "What are you having for lunch?" I shrugged. "We don't have a stove yet," I said. "So probably something from the microwave, like hot dogs or macaroni and cheese or soup and cheese and crackers or something." "Are your stinking brothers going to be there?" she wanted to know. "Well," I said, "yes, but they aren't allowed in my room unless I invite them." "Class?" I'd forgotten Mrs. Hunter had been standing there this whole time. "We have to leave for lunch now, Rosemary. If you're going over to Allie's house for lunch, which I suggest you do, would you please step over to the home lunch line?" Rosemary looked over at Mrs. Hunter. Then she looked at me. Maybe it was my imagination. Maybe it wasn't. But it seemed like, for a second, the whole class held its breath. Then Rosemary rolled her eyes and said, "I guess I'll go see your stupid kitten," and stepped into the home lunch line with me. Caroline, Sophie, and Erica were absolutely dead silent the whole way down the stairs, something that had never happened before in our history of going to lunch together. They just didn't seem to know how to handle the situation of Rosemary walking home with us, at least until we got to the door to the kindergarten, which was where Rosemary went. "What are we doing here?" in a rude voice. That was apparently when Caroline couldn't take it anymore because she said, We're here to pick up Allie's little brother. Or is that not all right with you? Maybe we should just leave him here. Rosemary's eyes widened, and she put her hands on her hips.
Whoa, she said. Sorry, Miss Pris, I didn't know.
It's okay. Erica, who was always rushing in to settle every argument that might start among us, hurried to do so now. Rosemary didn't know. Which was when Kevin came strolling out of his classroom, and his gaze fell on Rosemary. Hello, he said to her cheerfully. Do you want to hold my hand on the way home? I'll let you do it this one time because you're new. But usually, Caroline and Sophie get to do it, at least as far as the stop sign. I saw Caroline and Sophie throw me panicky glances. I didn't know what to do or say, so I just stared right back at them while Erica started chewing on her thumbnail. Rosemary, meanwhile, did something I'd never have expected in a million years. She started turning red. I'll hold your hand, she said to Kevin in a quiet, completely un-Rosemary-like voice. After we leave the playground, but not before, and you can't tell anyone, do you understand? Kevin shrugged and said, sure. Then he took Caroline's and Sophie's hands and began to skip away. Rosemary, her head ducked, began to follow them. Erica took her thumb out of her mouth and grabbed my arm. Allie, she whispered in my ear, what do you think you're doing? Maybe, I whispered back. We've been wrong about Rosemary. Maybe she just wants a chance to act like a girl, like one of us. Are you crazy? Erica wanted to know. She's just going to wait until she has you alone in your room, then pound the life out of you. I don't think so, I whispered back. I think it's going to be all right. I didn't actually have any proof that this was true. I just had a feeling in my bones that it might be. Okay, I just hoped that it might. I was taking a risk, just like Mrs. Hauser had taken a risk in letting me take Musette, that everything was going to work out. I didn't know for sure that it would. But I didn't know for sure that it wouldn't either. But when, a half hour later, Rosemary was sitting in my room, holding a bottle to Musette's mouth and smiling as Musette greedily gobbled her formula down, I knew that I'd guessed right. I wasn't sure Rosemary and I were going to be best friends or anything, but I was pretty sure she wasn't going to be pounding my face in anytime soon. You really can't pound the face in of someone you've shared a Hot Pocket with and whose kitten you've bottle fed.
I can't believe your parents are letting you do this, Rosemary said. I mean, to have such a tiny kitten.
Well, I explained, I'm the oldest in my family, so I'm used to having a lot of responsibility.
I'm the youngest, Rosemary said, looking around my room. I only have brothers, too.
Gee, I said. I couldn't tell. This was a total lie.
You sure do have a lot of dolls, Rosemary said.
You can come over sometime, I said, and play with them if you want. I usually play a game called Detective, where one of the dolls gets brutally murdered and the rest of the dolls have to solve the crime. Rosemary laughed, and not in a very nice way.
Is that what you and those other girls play in the bushes every day at recess? She asked.
No, I said. Remembering what Mr. Elkhart had said about how he'd never seen any of us ask Rosemary to play with us. We play a game called Queens. We pretend that we're queens, and we're fighting an evil warlord who's trying to kill us. You can come play it with us sometime, if you want to.
I don't think so, Rosemary said. I mean, they've been playing in there for years, and they've never asked me to join them. Then you come along, and they asked you your first day, and you're the new girl. They obviously don't want me.
I could see right away then what the problem was. Rosemary's problem with me, I mean. I was new, but I already had more girlfriends than she had. Rosemary didn't have any girlfriends, in fact. Except me, and I was only pretending to be her friend so she wouldn't kill me. They'll let you play if I tell them you're all right, I said. Rosemary shook her head. They don't like me, she said, sticking her finger out for Musette to rub her head against. Caroline and those guys. They're such snobs. They always have been, since first grade practically.
I was surprised that Rosemary felt this way, because I thought Caroline and Sophie and Erica were the least snobby girls I had ever met.
They just don't know you, I said.
Also, I tried to think how to put this so Rosemary wouldn't be offended.
It's mean to invite someone over to your house and then insult them. That's a rule.
The thing is, Rosemary, you act kind of scary sometimes.
Rosemary blinked at me, her eyes looking huge.
But she didn't appear insulted.
I got the feeling she kind of liked being thought of as mean and that she took it as a compliment.
If they got to know you better, I went on, I bet they'd like you. You should come home for lunch with me more often, and then they'll get to like you.
The truth was, I wasn't really sure this was true. But having Rosemary come home for lunch with me sometimes seemed like a small price to pay for staying alive.
Really?
Rosemary looked down at Musette, who was play-attacking her finger.
Can I feed Musette again?
Sure, I said. I felt kind of bad about how happy Rosemary looked about this. I mean, that it had taken me so long to realize that a part of why Rosemary had been so mad at me was that she'd wanted to be my friend all along, and that she just hadn't known how to show it, except by trying to beat me up. Which is kind of how boys show they like you, by punching you or kicking over your stick village.
It was probably natural for Rosemary, growing up in a house full of big brothers and sitting in the back row with all those boys all day, to think this really was the right way to behave. If anyone had ever needed a book of rules, it was Rosemary Dawkins. But I decided not to show her mine. Friendships are like kittens. They need to be fed slowly and gently, and not all at once. I figured there was lots of time to tell Rosemary about the rules. Later. Probably much later.